Powered by Riverside.
Welcome to Garage Takes Season 3, final episode. Want to welcome everybody in. Do us a huge favor if you have not done so already. Hit that like, follow, subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star review. Positive comment goes a long way. And do us a huge favor as well. Hop over to the YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. We greatly appreciate it. It's been another awesome season. And Brant, we kind of wrap things up here and put a bow on football season. We think, we hope. I mean, if something crazy happens between now and the end of July, maybe I'm not opposed to hopping on here doing something short, but typically after the NFL draft wraps up, we ride off into the sunset and then fire up for season 4 towards the end of July. Like I said, we'll be talking all things Michigan football as they start on their campaign to maybe go back-to-back national champions, who knows, and then the Lions as well. Hopefully we'll follow up a super exciting season that we've all got to enjoy. I want to talk Lions, their draft. I want to know your thoughts, and I want to make sure anybody that's listening to this right now on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Let us know what you think down in the comments. Brant, talk me through the Lions draft. I want you to go ahead and stamp this with a letter grade. Give us the Brant grade of this draft and why. And what pick did you like the most?
Dave, I'm going to go with, first of all, A plus for Detroit on hosting the draft. An amazing job. Everything came off beautifully. There was no ignorance. What seemed like potentially could go off the rails, it didn't go off the rails. I think Detroit shined in a way that it hadn't in a long time. And I hope the NFL sees that and maybe they try to put a Super Bowl here in the next 10 years or something along those lines. Hopefully this can get us more events just in general for the state of Michigan and the city of Detroit. So first off, I talked to people that went down there. They had a great time. They said there was enough space. You weren't packed on top of each other. Obviously, Eminem coming out was a huge deal. That was a very cool moment too. Big Sean put on a little concert even before it started. So very cool stuff going down in Detroit. And
I want to give a quick shout out real quick, Brant, to my former student, Caleb Carroll, who sang the national anthem to kick off Thursday night at the NFL draft. Just awesome. Awesome
yeah,
stuff.
Fantastic.
Caleb, I told you were going to be a star, buddy, when you were in sixth grade. Don't forget it.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's awesome. Obviously, a kid of Detroit. So very cool moment for Detroit just overall. And yeah, I'll just get to the draft and I will say A minus for me. The most important thing that they did was filled needs. They had needs in their secondary. Dave, we talked about it back and forth. I love the fact that they go and they get a dude in Terrion Arnold, who actually is a dude, to kind of be, I guess right now, cornerback two, kind of on the depth chart. But he's definitely going to be playing starter minutes, Dave. Whether that turns into fruition in the next couple of years, he becomes CB1. We'll wait and see on that. But, you know, then you go get a dude like Rakestraw, who has been known as a big hitter. He's a guy that wants to make plays, explosive plays. If you watch some of his film, he's a little bit of a gambler. I think that's why he kind of fell in the draft a little bit. His measurables are okay. He's not going to pop off the screen to you as far as like being consistent, I guess. I would look for him to maybe have to have a little bit of a struggle when he transitions into like trying to be a full-time starter in the NFL. I would look for that a little bit, but as far as the draft as a whole, probably my favorite pick. I'm going to go with the defensive tackle from LSU. I love that pick. I like the fact
Mekhi Wingo.
Yeah. Mekhi Wingo. I really like the fact that he was a team captain, kind of a guy that had decent numbers. I think they grabbed him in the 5th round, if I'm not mistaken, Dave.
Six rounder.
But he definitely, LSU's defense was nothing to write home about. That was not a great showing from them all year. We talked about it on the pod multiple times. However, he ran the fastest 40 time behind Fiske, the kid from Florida State at defensive tackle, who was just an absolute stud. I mean, that guy, he really balled out this year. So I'm interested to see what they do. The only thing I thought they left searching for, I guess, Dave, a little bit, was linebacker and defensive end. I thought maybe they could have improved there a little more than they did. Obviously, they got the guards on the offensive line to help kind of take care of that side of the ball. But overall, A- for me, Dave. What'd you think?
Yeah, I'll give them a B+. I'll go right beneath you. I mean, a B+ is a great grade for me, and I'll explain why I'm there and not in the A range. I mean, first of all, when Brad Holmes, like Brent, we talked about on the podcast last week, they were never going to pick at 29. Like, they were either trading back or they were trading up. That's just what Brad Holmes does. And Brent, you texted me during the draft, and you're like, I don't know if there's been no defensive players drafted yet. And I'm like, that's bizarre. I'm looking at it, and it was like almost the timing of that was I started combing through the names of like guys who I started doing the math of who could actually fall to 29 and looking at teams that were for sure going offense even after that. And I'm like, the Lions are going to get somebody pretty good here. Like, I didn't know if it was going to be on the D-line. I didn't know if it was going to be cornerback. I didn't know if it was going to be wide receiver. Wasn't sure, but I'm like, wide receiver would have been offense. But on the defensive side, I'm like, they can get a guy. And I know they have guys at the top of their draft board. So when they trade up to 24 with the Dallas Cowboys and move up five spots, they paid a pretty penny, giving up a third-round pick to move up five spots and obviously pick 29. I mean, you're investing a lot there, but you know what? If you got your guy there and you don't want to miss on that guy and everyone after Tyrion Arnold is not going to cut it for you, go and get your guy at 24. And that's exactly what Brad Holmes did. Brandon, you talked about the city of Detroit. I watched the raw video clip of the entire city, 275,000 people erupting real time as they traded up and announced that their pick was Tyrion Arnold, arguably the best cornerback in this draft, alongside Quinion Mitchell from Toledo. But I think many people would say he's the best graded cornerback in this draft. And so it's a position of need. It was your greatest weakness this past year. And Brant, I'm looking at this in totality here. They came in just a matter of months ago with four top 100 picks. Okay. Now they turn those four top 100 picks into three cornerbacks. Carlton Davis, that was one of the third round picks that they took from the Bucks. There's your cornerback one. They flipped the other third round pick and the first round pick into Tyrion Arnold. And then their second round pick, you go and get Ennis Rakeshaw, who, I mean, he's a dog. He just fits he fits this team. He fits the culture. And yeah, you can't really argue with when you've got positions of need and you get the guys that are, Brad Holmes said Rakeshaw was the second highest graded cornerback on their board. I believe him. Like, if that's the case, there's no way in the world you're going to pass up and maybe get an edge rusher or somebody on the D line. Cause I know that was, or even on the offensive line that maybe people wanted more, but look, if that's your guy, go and get it. I do kind of give the B+ grade just because it's you use both those picks on corners. I don't hate it at all, but they had some other positions they could have addressed there, and that's my reason for the B+. But I love the guys that they got. Man, I think Tyrion Arnold's going to be a heck of a cornerback in the NFL. I think he will eventually be your top dog. He'll be your top cornerback at some point. I think he'll probably start the year as CB2. Let's not forget, Brant, now you've got Carlton Davis, you've got Tyrion Arnold, you've got Ennis Rakeshaw, you've got Emmanuel Mosley, who I know continues to, have these devastating injuries, but he's back as well. They bring in the Robertson kid from the Raiders. I mean, you talk about a position of need being turned into a position of strength. That's what good GMs do. And shout out to Brad Holmes, just continuing to build this thing the way he wants to. He doesn't care who's on whose board or what analysts are saying. Like, he's got his guys. And if you're looking at the formula for how this team was built, feel pretty dang good about Brad Holmes saying, as he is slapping the table and clapping his hands and getting his guys, like, look, man, I'm never going to be the one to question it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess the goal is for Vildor to never play in an NFC Championship game again. I mean, I think that, Dave, you nailed it. I mean, it was an address. They addressed the needs that they had to. Rakestraw fits the culture. I think you nailed that beautifully. He absolutely does. Heavy hitter. Hopefully he's under control type of guy, but I mean, he's going to be a rookie. He's going to have to learn how to be a professional, and you know, all these guys are going to have to do that. I thought the draft overall, Dave, I'm kind of glad they didn't go receiver there late. The receivers went on a run, and we talked about that before we got to the draft list. There's a position that always has a run, and you're kind of like watching these guys come off the board, and then people start freaking out, and then, you know, I think teams get a little reachy. Like, even the Ricky Pearsall draft pick from the 49ers, I thought, boy, you're reaching for receivers here already. Like, I don't think he's a proven commodity. So I kind of like how the Lions moved up and got their guy too.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, after the, you know, night one and night two, I think Lions fans were really happy. And then moving in to that final day, they end up getting 2 fourth-round picks, you know, Brad Holmes doing Brad Holmes things, which was cool. Take, you know, two guys that I think people raise their eyebrows on. One, Giovanni Manu from, I think, like British Columbia. Guy's a giant, like 6'7", 6'8", 350 pounds, built like a brick wall. He's raw. But this is the luxury you have when you've got the culture established and you've got your starters already in place. Get him in the system. They did the same thing with Colby Sorsdale last year. And he's building for the future, man. This is playing chess, not checkers. And I love that about Brad Holmes. I cannot hate on that pick. Brent, can you imagine if they developed that kid into something on that old line?
Dave, it slightly reminds me of when the Patriots had everything rolling and they were an absolute dynasty. And they're picking kids from Southeast Missouri, or, you know, they're grabbing Division III players in the first round. It's like, hey, if you feel that confident in how you can pick them, I mean, go for it. And Detroit Lions fans are not in any position to question Brad Holmes. This is the first time I've ever seen a GM in this town in a long time, maybe since Dombrowski, that Detroit has absolutely not even asked questions about. They're like, yep, he knows what he's doing. I'm good with whatever moves he makes.
Absolutely. And, I mean, he has built this. I actually want to come back to that point here in just a second. I just wrap out just one more pick. Christian Mahogany. So for everyone that's like, oh, you reach for this Giovanni Manu kid. Look, Christian Mahogany was the way I saw him mocked, was like a third or a fourth round pick. They got him in the sixth round. That's your last pick of the draft. Like, that he's going to contribute on the O-line in the future too. So I just have to kind of wrap my thoughts up on this and say, Brad Holmes may be a genius, Brant. I mean, think about where this team was 4 years ago, 3 years ago. Like, in three seasons, they have made it 30 minutes away from a Super Bowl. And you just brought up nobody's calling them a dynasty yet, but you bring up the point of the Patriots, which I think is a really good point to say, like, you start being able to almost pick at a luxury where you just kind of know your guys. You don't really care where they're from or what people might grade them as. You're like, nope, let's get them into our system. They got the right attitude, work ethic, all of those things. They're going to fit. And Brant, I got a feeling that a guy like Giovanni Manu, I think we are, think we're going to be hearing his name here in a few years. And I'm excited about that. Go ahead.
No, I think it's funny that you say that, because it doesn't matter who else's board they're on. If they're on your board, they're on your board. And that's what it's starting to feel like, is it doesn't matter what the outsiders think of this pick. I'm going to make it. And he bucked all the trends last year by taking Jahmyr Gibbs as early as he did. And we all saw the fruits of that labor. So, you know, more power to him.
Very last thing here before we wrap up. And once again, do us a huge favor. If you're listening to us on YouTube right now, hit that subscribe button. Let us know what you think of the Lions Hall in the 2024 draft. We look forward to hearing what you guys think too. But Brant, I want to know, as things stand today, as we wrap up season three, should the Lions be Super Bowl favorites? Should they be favorites to come out of the NFC? Do you feel, and I bring that up, I mean, I think in the past we were like, oh God, here we go. Like, let's just calm it all down. I'm looking at this thing on paper. I'm looking at the Niners, the team that they lost to. Did that team get better? It doesn't appear so, just on the surface. They may not be as good of a team as they were last year, or they could just be the very same. You know, they stood pat in a lot of things, and people thought they would be trading possibly Brandon Ayuk or Debo. That didn't happen. Is it fair to say the Lions are at the top of this conversation?
Dave, I have them ranked fourth in the overall NFL. I have them ranked second in the NFC, not behind the 49ers, oddly enough. I have them behind the Eagles. I think the Eagles have a bounce back year. I think they find their way about them a little bit. And once again, an amazing draft from the Eagles. Like, you want to talk about geniuses, Howie Roseman. Like, Brad Holmes is definitely top five GM, but Howie Roseman might be number one. Like, he's off the charts crazy at this. So I got the Eagles at number one. I have Texans and Chiefs also in the AFC over them. I got them as number four right now if I were to do an NFL power ranking.
I think that's very fair. I don't know if there's too much to argue about. I think that the top tier of the NFC are Lions, 49ers, and Eagles. Like, that's just that's what it is right now. I mean, so surely there will be some other team that rises and makes a run at this thing. But look, I'm looking at this offseason right now for the Lions with not a lot of question marks. Maybe the only question mark is what you're going to do opposite side Hutch long term. But you know what? You've got time to figure that out. Look, some teams go and give up fourth round picks and bring in Chase Young midseason. You know, I just use that as an example of they may get to a point this year where maybe James Houston and Josh Pascal and Marcus Davenport, these guys all opposite Hutch, if it's not working, you know, they can make a move. I don't think Brad Holmes is scared at all to use some capital to make a move and make a run at this thing. And I know he hates hearing about, you know, the window and what the, like, he doesn't believe in that. He's building this thing for the long term, and I can't question it. You look at this roster. Now you're starting to watch guys get paid. You watch Amon-Ra, you saw Penei get paid. But look, what that tells me, if I'm a player, I come in here with the right attitude, the right work ethic, I'm going to get rewarded and get paid here to stay in Detroit. Detroit, I can't believe I'm saying this, is a destination city right now if you're an NFL player. It just is. I don't think anybody can challenge that. Look at how electric this city was by having the draft here, the energy around this team, and just what it's done for everybody here locally. You know, like, follow, hit that subscribe button, leave us a review. We really appreciate it. Brant, any final thoughts here before we ride off into the sunset?
Yeah, my last season three gripe, I promise. We love J.J. McCarthy so much, but how dare you not show up in Detroit for the NFL draft and be in the green room? How dare you, J.J.? I had such a problem with that. I know I'm like probably out of my lane here, but that would have been just the next level of Detroit going crazy is when J.J. would have stepped on that stage. But to each his own, do whatever you want, I guess. But I would have loved if J.J. was at the draft. I'm just saying.
You expect me to wrap up the podcast when you go at J.J. like that? Look, man, J.J. was never going to be at the draft. It's not him. It's not his personality, man. He doesn't want the spotlight there. He's not. He got clear directions, Brant, from the NFL that said the commissioner just got back surgery a few weeks ago. Don't touch him. Don't pick him up. Don't even look at him. And what did it take? A big old Alabama education from that offensive lineman picks up the commissioner and beer hugs him. So that's, you know what? Go to Bama. Yeah. I couldn't believe that, man. I couldn't believe that. But anyway, we appreciate everyone. We will see you guys late July with some new stuff we're going to add into the podcast as well. Everyone have a great summer.
Powered by Riverside.